right. Morning. Happy New Year. Glad to see all you guys here as we kick off 2020. Still doesn't sound right to me. It's just so crazy, 2020. So, but hey, we're here, we're doing it, and we're going to make it a great, great year. And so, kicking off the year, I was trying to think about kind of where we wanted to go as a church, and just kind of where we're at and where we want to go moving forward. So, what better way to kick off the year than to look at us growing spiritually, right? If you are a Christ follower, what the one thing that you should always be striving to do is to grow, right? To be more like Christ, to understand more, to move your faith forward. So for the month of January, that's really what we're going to focus in on. We are starting this new series called Faith Forward. And we're going to talk about a lot of the things that I think you would come to know and expect when sitting and listening and interacting with a series that is about growing your faith, right? Growing spiritually. We're going to talk about all those things. Next week, in week two, we're going to talk about the importance of connecting with God, right? We're going to really, really dig into that and focus in on that. In week three, we're going to talk about connecting with God's people because we do this thing together, right? We do life together. We are the church, not just LifePoint Church, but as believers, we are all connected and we need to do this thing together. So we have to connect with God's people. And then finally, in week four, we're going to be talking about putting our faith in action and how a key piece of moving our faith forward, growing spiritually, is actually to put it in action, right? Because what's the point of having faith and belief if we just sit on it? If we just hold it to ourselves and we do nothing with it, then it's selfish and it's pointless. So we want to move our faith forward, so we have to put it into action. And I hope and I pray that this series will truly will bless you, it will equip you and unleash you to be all that God has created you to be and to move along in this faith journey that we're all on. But today, to kick this series off, I believe that it's 100% necessary for us first to lay a foundation surrounding what it means for us to move forward. So we're going to call this kind of the faith forward foundation, right? Because we get caught up in Christianity, in the spiritual game of all these spiritual disciplines, and they are great and necessary and beautiful things. But if you grew up like me or are kind of wired like I am, I sat under teaching and leadership that was very power and control, was very just check it off your list, don't ask why, just do it, and if not, God's gonna strike you down. Like this fear kind of thing. And that's really not what growing spiritually is about. As much as we would like it, there is no true formula for growing spiritually. There are some things that we can do. There's things we should do. When we look into scripture, there's outlines, and God presents these things to us that we can do to grow spiritually, that we must do. But it's not like this perfect, clean little checkbox. Like if you check this off, boom, you're growing spiritually. That's not how it works. And so I want us to really lay this faith-forward foundation for us to kind of put these parameters around what we're going to be talking about in the weeks to come. So this morning, we're first going to be looking at why it's important for us to move our faith forward. Why is it important for us to grow spiritually? Why is that something that God wants for us? And then secondly, we're going to kind of wrap up our conversation today with two essential pieces of the puzzle that are a must. They're a must if we want to move forward in our faith, if we want to grow. So first, we're going to look at why it's important for us to move forward in our faith. And I think if I asked each of you that question, you would have some answers. You'd have some solid answers. You'd probably have some of the things we're going to talk about. But when we look at things, we see that one of the reasons that it's important for us to grow spiritually is because if you are a true believer in Christ, like if you have given your life to Christ, you believe that God sent his son to die on the cross, rose again for you, so that you could be made whole again, that new creation, and you claim that as your truth, and you believe that, If that's really where you're at and what you believe, don't you think you would want to learn more? Don't you think you'd want to connect on a deeper level with God to grow in truth and knowledge of his word, connecting with him in an intimate way? If we really believe that, that should be a desire within us. So it's important for us to move our faith forward because it's who we are. We're connected to God. We're connected to the vine. So it should be within us to want to grow, to learn more, and to move forward. Also, in order for us to truly be equipped to fulfill the Great Commission, which is taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, which every believer, every Christ follower is called to do, regardless of what your profession is, that's what we're called to do. In order for you to be equipped for that, you've got to grow. You've got to move forward spiritually. And finally, it's what God wants for us. He wants us to grow. He wants us to move forward spiritually and to develop and to move our faith forward. In fact, we see this in Hebrews chapter 5, which is one of my favorite passages of Scripture when it comes to spiritual growth and moving our faith forward, because it gives some clear analogies, and I really like to see these pictures of things and analogies laid out. It helps me. It's the way my mind is wired. But check it out. In Hebrews chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 12, 13, and 14. It says, "You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what's right." Goes on to say, "Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skills to recognize the difference between right and wrong." So as believers, we have to grow in our faith. We need to get off milk and be eating solid food. We need to be mature in our faith. Not perfect, but mature in our faith. We need to move our faith forward, to grow spiritually. And it gives us some reasons here. One, so you can know the difference between right and wrong. A lot of times, we like to think that we know the difference between right and wrong, but when you really start breaking it down, or you really start growing in your faith, God starts revealing these little pieces that you really didn't realize or know about, that where you kind of got it wrong, right? Or maybe I'm the only one, I don't know, but he does that to me all the time. But it helps us to learn the difference between right and wrong, and also, it helps us to be able to teach others. Since you've been believers for so long, you should be teaching other people. But if we're not moving forward in our faith and we're sitting stagnant and just chilling, we are not growing to that level that we can actually take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We can't even take it to our neighbor because we're still wanting to be fed. We want someone to teach and teach and teach, but we're not doing our own work and we're not growing and moving spiritually forward. But it's something that God wants for us. And I think every Christ follower, like I said, deep down wants that. But it's not always easy, is it? How many of you all would be honest and say that at some point in time, maybe in the past year, you've been like, okay, I'm going to spend more time in prayer, I'm going to spend more time in the Word, and I'm really going to connect and grow in my faith. And then you did it for a little bit, and then all of a sudden you started to kind of fall off. Like, how many of you all would be honest and say that? Yeah. I mean, we all struggle with that because it's not easy. Right? We get faced as we're trying to grow spiritually, we get faced with distraction. Right? We get with fears, with insecurities. We read that passage of scripture and say that we should be teaching others, and we're like, well, I don't know enough to teach anyone else. And when I try to understand, I read the Bible and get through it, I get confused and I'm afraid I'm gonna interpret the scripture wrong, and so I just don't do anything. Right? We get fearful, and or maybe we have some just tough life circumstances happening. Some things happen that aren't good. And so we're trying to grow spiritually, but then we're like, God, why are you letting this happen? Like, I don't get it. I'm studying. I'm trying to grow closer to you. I'm trying to connect with you, yet everything's falling apart. We get distracted, and it becomes so easy for us to honestly just kind of throw in the towel and give up. Resided the fact that, you know what, I believe in God, but man, I'm not good enough to grow past where I'm at. And that's exactly what the enemy wants for us, because he knows if we start to believe that lie, we're not going to do anything that God has created us to do, because we're sitting and moping and we're not growing forward in our faith. You see, again, we think that there's like this formula that we have to do X, Y, and Z. We got to read the Bible for 20 minutes every day, then we need to pray for 20 minutes every day, and then we need to go do this and this and that. And again, those are all great things. They're things that we're going to be talking about in the weeks to come. But what happens is we put ourselves in this little checkbox area, and when we fail, we get discouraged. When we fail, we feel like we're less than. We feel shame. And ultimately, when we fail, we begin to feel like God's mad at us. He's disappointed in us. Maybe we even take it to the next level. We feel like God doesn't love us anymore because we keep dropping the ball when we should be growing. And we should be moving our faith forward. We're stuck. Or maybe even we're going back. Or maybe we're doubting. And then we become consumed with that guilt and shame. But what I want to tell you this morning in this kind of this foundation, right, this faith forward foundation is that couldn't be further than the truth. It is not the truth at all, because the reality of the situation is that when we are trying to grow spiritually and when we're in the Word and we're moving our faith forward, it's messy. It's not perfect. While I was on vacation on a cruise over Thanksgiving, I read a book that I've had forever that I'd start. I probably had it for like 12 years, and I've started it, you know, my MO is I read the first like two chapters of a book, and I'm all excited about it, and then I don't finish it. Like, I've read the first two chapters of probably 50 books, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to read this book, and I read it, and it was called Messy Spirituality, and it took a lot of the things that I already knew, but it just put it all in one book, and it put it right in my face. And the reality is spirituality is messy. When we are striving to grow in our faith, it's not perfect because we're not perfect. God's perfect. His standard is perfect. His word is perfect, but we are not. Therefore, it gets messy. And as soon as we can come to terms with that and understand that that is the reality, and that's okay, then we can begin to really wrestle and move forward in our faith. But if we don't accept that and we don't see that and understand it and understand how to move forward with that, then we get stuck. And that's what happens to so many of us. But faith-forward living, growing spiritually, wrestling with these spiritual truths is messy. And you know what? It's messy for all of us. It's messy for me, real messy for me at times. It's messy for you. It's messy for the person sitting next to you. It's messy for the people sitting in churches down the road. It is just messy. And it's okay. And guess what? God knows it. He knew it was going to be messy. It's one of the reasons why he gives us his word. That's why living spirit-filled and following his word and spending time in connection with him is so important, because it allows us to really see ourselves as he sees us. And when we're messy, he still loves us. He doesn't see the mess. He wants us to thrive and grow spiritually. This is why I love Hebrews chapter 5, that passage that we just read so much. It's a perfect analogy of this, because we're messy, but it's okay, it's normal. And he uses this analogy of milk with infants and versus eating solid food with maturity. I mean, think about it. If you have a newborn baby, can they feed themselves? No, they can't. They have to be fed. And then as they get a little older, then they might move to a bottle. And then eventually they start to hold that bottle themselves, right? They might drop it a time or two, but they're working through it. They're learning. So then they hold that bottle. And then from there, they grow a little more, and then they start to get like rice cereal, and they get, you know, pureed nasty baby food that they love. Well, some of it, not carrots, at least for my kids. But they're starting to eat some actual food. And it gets a little messier as they get to that point, right? Bibs come in real handy there. Then as they get a little older, you're not necessarily feeding them, but then they start to feed themselves. And that's when it gets crazy, right? I think everyone probably has, if you have kids, you have a picture somewhere of your kids eating spaghetti for the first time, right? It's like a rite of passage, and it's a mess. It's everywhere. Normally, they don't have no shirt on. It's all over their face. It's on their forehead. It's on the back of their clothes or their head. It's all over their chest. And somehow, you know, for my kids, it was all over the back of my head and on my neck and everywhere. It's an absolute mess, but they continue to work through it. Slowly, they start to feed themselves better and make less of a mess and less of a mess until finally they find this rhythm of eating. They learn how to eat solid food without making a mess every single time. But the reality is, we still make a mess from time to time. In my 35 plus years of feeding myself, I'm pretty good at it now. But I still make a mess from time to time. I still spill the drink. I'm probably spill this at some point in time while I'm up here. I still drop sauce on my shirt, or I get, you know, chicken wings in my beard or something. I mean, we still are always going to kind of have that potential to make a mess, and it's not a big deal, right? We just clean it up and we keep it moving. And this is the exact same thing when it comes to our spiritual lives. At some point in time, somebody introduced you to Jesus. And you began to study or search or ask questions. And then you gave your life to Christ. And then they began to teach you. And you received because you couldn't feed yourself. But then as you grow, you begin to study God's word more on your own. And you begin to grow. And you begin to start feeding yourself a little bit more. And as you do that, it gets a little messy from time to time. You start reading something and you get frustrated because you don't understand it. Or you read something and you think this is what it means and it really means this. Sometimes you do the wrong things. You think you were supposed to do this and then you weren't. It gets messy. But it's okay because the more and more that you spend time with God, the more and more he's revealing things to you. And you learn to feed yourself and you learn to be mature and your faith begins to move forward. Sure. You're going to make a mess from time to time. Yes, you're going to interpret scripture maybe wrong. I promise you, every single one of you sitting in here, including me, is probably wrong somewhere in our belief. And if we think we're not, we're pretty arrogant. I'm very confident, but I understand that I'm flawed and that I'm messy at times. And that's why I have to rely on God. See, it's so important for us to understand that it's messy. And that it's okay. This is the foundation that we're kind of working through. You find a rhythm eventually, and it gets easier and easier and easier, but you have to stay diligent with it. And we can't let the messiness and the failure sidetrack us. Because again, that's what the enemy wants, and that's when we get off course. When it gets messy, when we screw up, our natural inclination is to want to give up. Wave the white flag, throw in the towel. But we can't do that. Instead, what we need to do is when things get messy and we screw up or we get doubtful or we get discouraged or we get angry or whatever it may be, that's when we need to fall into the arms of grace. Because God poured out his grace to us through Jesus. He offers us unlimited grace. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. He doesn't expect us to not ever get anything wrong. He expects us to be messy. So he gets why he gives us grace. And if you truly want to move forward in your faith in 2020, we have to understand that grace is going to play a key role in this from the start all the way to the finish. We can't do this without grace. Let me explain that a little further. When talking about faith forward, grace is an essential piece of the puzzle, and it's an essential in two main areas. You see, when we first begin to explore the things of Jesus and we start to kind of begin on our faith journey, the very first major decision that we make is stepping over that line of faith and placing our faith and trust in Christ. And we cannot, hear me clear, you cannot do that without grace. So the first thing that we see, and the most important thing in moving forward in our faith, in our faith forward journey, is understanding grace for salvation, right? Grace for salvation, that is our starting point. We can't really move forward if we have not gotten to this point. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 beautifully says this. It says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It is by grace that you have been saved." Grace. Grace is essential for salvation. It's essential for taking that first major step in your faith forward journey. You see, because until you step over that line of faith, you're really not going to continue anywhere past that. You're going to run up to like a roadblock. Your faith journey may begin with just someone telling you about Jesus and then you showing up to church somewhere, right? Or going and asking a friend of yours that's a believer some questions. Or coming to church and just exploring it. That's the beginning of your faith journey. And if that's where you're at, I mean, that's incredible and that's beautiful and you are welcome here and you are in a safe place to ask questions. You're in a safe place to wrestle with things. You're in a safe place to begin that faith-filled journey of moving forward and growing. But until you understand grace for salvation, you're never going to move past that. You see, grace is critical, for by grace you have been saved through faith. We can never move forward without understanding this key foundational truth. God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, shed his blood, and rise again victoriously for you, so that you could be whole again, so that you could be made into a new creation, and it's only by grace through faith in Jesus. That's it. As I say a lot, it's Jesus plus nothing. And he gives us grace because we don't deserve it. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. It's grace through faith in Jesus. That's one of the key pieces of our faith journey, of moving our faith forward. The second thing that we see about grace and moving our faith forward is understanding, again, grace for our messiness. Grace for our messiness. It's essential for us to work through and thrive in the messy. Again, God knew it was going to be messy. He knew we're not perfect. But if we want to thrive through it and work through it, we've got to truly understand grace. I want you to remember this morning, because I don't know how you're wired. I know how some of you are, but not everybody. But a lot of times we're way too hard on ourselves. Way too hard on ourselves. We think that because we're messy or because we screw up or because we're not perfect or that we have a moment of doubt or insecurity or whatever, that God no longer loves us or that he's mad at us or that he's disappointed with us or that we don't belong in his family. But see, God has a huge heart for messy people. He does. He has a huge heart for messy people. In fact, Jesus lived out in his earthly ministry that characteristic of God's heart of loving messy people. And honestly, it got him in a lot of trouble. People were always coming at him. Those Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders of the time were always taking shots at Jesus because he loved messy people. Because he associated and hung out with messy people, as they would say, sinners, right? Tax collectors, those people. In fact, in Luke chapter 15, we see that Jesus was teaching, and of course the Pharisees were there. They're typically there, and the other teachers and Sadducees were there trying to catch Jesus saying something wrong. But also coming to hear him teach were the sinners, were the tax collectors, were the messy people. And one of the Pharisees, of course, had something to say about it. We see in Luke 15, verse 2, it says when the Pharisee says, man, he's kind of mumbling under his breath, like, this man welcomes sinners, and he eats with them. Like, just disapproving of how Jesus was living, how he was operating as a teacher and the supposed Messiah. They're like, man, he hangs out with all the wrong people. So then Jesus, in Jesus' fashion, he comes at them with some stories, right? Some parables. He's going to break it down for them so they can maybe understand why he operates the way he does and why he actually loves messy people. And so he breaks down this into three parables. He tells a parable about the lost sheep, right? How the shepherd has 100 sheep, one gets away. He leaves the 99 to go find the one to show them that everyone is important and that one is so important to him. Then he tells the story, the parable of the lost coin. How a woman had 10 coins and she lost one of them and she flipped the house upside down, cleaning and trying to find this one coin. How important that one coin was. Then he goes on to tell the story of the lost son, or as we may better know it as the story of the prodigal son. And if you're not familiar with that, I want us to spend some time and actually read through this real quick and just kind of look at this from fresh eyes, from the eyes of us wanting to grow spiritually, right? But getting tripped up because of our messiness, getting sidelined because of our messiness and how important grace in our mess really is. So check this out. Start in Luke 15, verse 11. It says, Jesus continued, so he just told the other story, so this is the third one. He said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the young son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered the wealth with wild living. Another version says prodigal living, right? It's where we get the story of the prodigal son. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen in the country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. So this guy who had family, they were wealthy, they had all this. Then he got his inheritance, went, blew it all away, and now the dude is working in a field feeding pigs. It says he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. That's how. Can you imagine being that hungry? You get in a trough alongside a pig and start eating? It said, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants had food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him, and ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Man, this father was so stoked to see his son. He didn't care about anything else that had happened. Didn't ask about the money. He just ran up and hugged his son. So he throws his arms around him. He kisses him. The son said to him, Father, he's going through his speech that he prepared. You know, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they begin to celebrate. One of the things that I love the most about this passage of scripture and this story is that the kid, the son, put together this speech, right? To beg for his father's forgiveness, to be a servant. That's all he wanted. Because he felt so worthless, so full of shame, that that's all he saw himself as. Just, if I could just be a servant, at least I'll have food. And when he gave this nice speech that he concocted up to his dad, his dad ignored it completely. He didn't even acknowledge it. He just said, hey, let's get a robe on him. Let's get a ring on him. Let's get some sandals on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. Let's celebrate. Let's party. All the best for my son who was dead, who was lost, but is now found. Did he deserve that? After taking his money from his father's inheritance early and then going and blowing it? No. He didn't deserve it at all. He was a mess. But his father didn't care because his father loved him, wanted him to thrive, wanted what was best for him. His father extended grace. He loved him. And that's exactly how it is with us when it comes to our relationship with God. We've squandered so much. We've probably wasted so much time that we could have been using for the kingdom, to growing, to moving our faith forward, to sharing with other people. But God says, I love you. I love you. Put a ring on his finger. Get a robe, the very best. Because my son is home, my daughter is home. You see, when we're trying to grow spiritually and we screw up, we mess up, and we put this big speech back together to go back to God and tell him that he doesn't care about that. Believe it or not, he's not focused on our messiness. He's focused on us and our relationship with him, and he just wants to connect with us. He wants us to connect with him. He wants us to grow spiritually, and he wants to use us for his kingdom, for his purpose, for his glory. And that fact right there should make us more than ever want to move our faith forward, to know more, to learn more, to spend more time with him. But the mess gets in our way. So as we kind of move from here, and then we jump into the next few weeks, where we're actually going to look at some practical things that we can do to move our faith forward. I don't want you to hear it and think of perfection, that we have to do this step by step by step. Some of you are wired that way and you need to make a list. Do it. You need to put it in your schedule to keep you organized, give grace, and you know that the price, that the cost for that grace, you don't want to do anything but to glorify him and serve him and love him and honor him with everything that you have. So when we begin to grow spiritually, when we put in the work, when we dig into the word and spend time with God and we hit those roadblocks, that messiness, just receive grace. Know that God is cheering you on. Yeah, you're struggling with this verse. You don't understand it, or you're feeling like, I don't know about that. Wrestle with it. Take it to God. He wants you to do that. He doesn't want you to say, Oh, well, God must think that I don't care about him, or I'm not just saying, okay, that's the Bible, it's true. No, he wants you to wrestle with it. He wants you to take it to him. He wants you to grow. He wants you to get spaghetti all over your face. You can tweet that. God wants you to get spaghetti all over your face. But it's messy, and it's okay. We grow through the mess. When we're connected to grace, when we're connected to Jesus. So in 2020, make it a point to move your faith forward. And remember this foundation, that once you connect with Jesus, grace through faith in Jesus, you have grace covers everything from that point on. So when it gets messy, it's okay. So let's move our faith forward in 2020. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning. We're just humbled and so thankful for the fact that you truly do extend grace to us in all things. First and foremost, that despite our flaws and our failures, you made a way for us to be made right with you. When you knew we couldn't do it on our own, when nothing within us would make that possible, you sent your son Jesus to die and raise again so that we could be whole again, so that we could be made new, so we could receive that gift of salvation, the gift of grace. And we thank you for that. And God, as we spend some time just in reflection, in response to what you're speaking to us, God, may we always remember grace. God, as we strive to be more like you, as we strive to understand you more and grow in our faith and grow in our understanding and grow together as Christ followers and do life together, may we remember that when it gets messy, your grace covers it. And so we're good. We thank you for that, God. As we continue in a spirit of prayer before we move into taking of communion, maybe you're here this morning and you're kind of in your faith journey. You're at the place in your faith journey where you're really just checking things out, right? Where you're trying to discover Jesus and really understand what he's all about, what the Bible's all about before you make any decision. If you are there and you feel like God is leading you to take that next step, I want to encourage you to do that. Don't push back on that. It's not complicated. It's not scary. It is the greatest decision that you'll ever make in your life. See, I've said several times, was the gospel was that God sent his son to die for us, to take our place, take our sin and shame upon himself so that we could be made whole. And scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. So it's about confessing and believing. Just confession and believing. So if that's where you're at and you're ready to take that step, man, I encourage you to do that. You can do that right from your seat. You can come talk to me here in a second as the team plays, or as we're taking communion, or after the service, whatever you're comfortable with. We want to connect with you and help you through that. And if you're not ready to take that step, that's cool. Keep coming to LifePoint. Keep connecting. Keep asking questions. Keep wrestling with those things until you're ready to take that step forward. But maybe you're at this place where your relationship with God and your spiritual growth has kind of stalled. It's gotten stagnant. And a lot of it's because you've messed up, right? You don't feel worthy, or you try, and every time you try, you fail, or you get distracted, or it doesn't go as planned. Receive grace. Understand that God's not mad at you. He loves you, and he wants you to move forward. So as we transition here to communion here in a second, I'm going to give you time to spend in prayer. And during that time, I want you to really seek God in that. See where he's leading you. See what those barriers are. See what that next step is. And maybe it's just simply receiving grace. But as we transition, we're going to go ahead and move into taking of communion. And here at LifePoint, we were taking communion on the first Sunday of every month. And it's such a beautiful time together as a church family to take of the elements that represent the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus, that he died and rose again for us. And we do this in remembering that sacrifice, that's what it costs for us to be made right and to have that grace. So here at LifePoint, you don't have to be a member to partake in communion with us. We just ask that the only requirement really is that you have a connected relationship with Jesus, that you have that relationship with him, and that you spend a little time here in a moment, again, just reflecting, asking God what he wants you to hear, what your next steps are, whatever it may be. So during this time, Jared and the team are going to play a song. I want you to spend some time with God, and then the team will dismiss you by row to come forward and partake of the elements.